send another note to a letter or whatever saying, you know, please, please get that.
I'll second that, Chair.
Thank you, thank you. Also, I want to make sure the phones are switched off.
Yeah, mine's off.
Yes, it is 7 o'clock. Councillor Adams has to leave early. He's got another appointment she has to attend, so he will just disappear. He's not doing a runner, so as long as everybody understands that. And lastly, I'd like to congratulate Mr. Elson on his promotion. He's going slightly red in the neck, so I think we've got it right. So we'll now move on to the agenda.
We're about to afford to buy, not to county. So.
Sorry, what?
We're about to afford to buy, not to county.
You're making him go redder, John. Yeah. You're doing well. Right, we'll move on to the
speech, Chairman.
all persons present are reminded that the meeting may be recorded, and by attending this meeting, you are giving your consent to being filmed and your image being used. You are kindly requested to make it known to the chairman if you intend to film or record this meeting. Does anyone intend to film or record?
No.
No, thank you. The council is aware that planning applications may be confrontational and emotive for those affected by the decisions made by this committee. However, all persons present are reminded that the council will not tolerate abusive or aggressive behaviour towards staff or other visitors attending this meeting, and anyone behaving inappropriately will be required to leave the meeting and the building. The monitoring officer would like to remind members that when they are considering whether the following items are exempt information under the relevant paragraph under Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972, they must have regard to the public interest test. This means that members must consider for each item whether the public interest in maintaining the exemption from disclosure outweighs the public interest in making them available to the public. Cool. We now move on to agenda item one, apologies for absence. I've got apologies from Rachel Canny, as we know, still very poorly. She is being substituted by Councillor Wyatt, and also Councillor Harrison, I believe, is away on fire-related duties, some meeting down in Bournemouth or whatever, and he's been supplied by Councillor Holt. So, thank you. Are there any other declarations?
All of America.
Apologies.
Declarations of interest. All members are aware of the code of conduct. Are there any declarations of interest? Would you please state if it is pecuniary or non-pecuniary, to which item it relates and for what reason? Do we have any declarations? Councillor White.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I just want to have it recorded. Non pecuniary. I've been lobbied on A1 and A2. Still got everyone.
Thank you, Councillor
White. Yes, Adams. Yes, likewise, Chairman. Non pecuniary on A1 and A2. In London.
Likewise, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Green. Anyone else? No. Thank you. We'll move on. Agenda item 3, minutes. Can I confirm the minutes from the last planning committee meeting held on the 12th of February 2019 as an accurate record of the proceedings? And do I have a seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Seconded by Councillor Adams. All in favour, please show. Thank you. Minutes are agreed. A1, erection of 360 dwellings, associated infrastructure and landscaping, reserved matters to outline planning commission reference 13/00956/OUTM, the land north of Grange Road, Huddlestone, Holder. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application? No, thank you. Please could the relevant planning officer present their report.
Thank you, Chair. This is a result of this application for 360 dwellings, which will be the first residential phase of a wider site with outline planning permission for up to 2,700 dwellings and associated development within South East Coalville. This is South East Coalville site as a whole. zooming in, so it's this parcel. Yeah, just a few folks past the site. Proposed site access location on Grange Road. East and west on Grange Road, and then photos just showing the site generally. The principal development was established by the grant of the original outline planning commission, and consideration of this application needs to relate to the details of reserve matters applied for, which are the proposed access, appearance, landscaping, layout and scale. That's the site layout. In terms of proposed layout, the scheme has been designed as a landscape-led development in accordance with the general form of development previously indicated in the site-wide master plan. This includes a vehicle link through the site from Grange Road and connecting through to Forest Road via this adjacent scheme, which is to the west of our site. Next slide. Through there, by the adjacent scheme to the west, and that site has a resolutions permit. Members may also recall considering application for construction site access last year, which connects to Grange Road in approximately the same position as the access now. The scheme also proposes a future link across the former railway, Mineral Railway, enabling a connection to Davison's site to the east, which is currently under construction. There are also a number of proposed pedestrian links between the site and the former railway, intended to help make it more accessible as a recreational route. Other non-vehicle routes are proposed throughout the site, and including retention of the existing public right-of-way crossing. As set out in the update sheet, the County Highway Authority has now formally confirmed that it has no objections to the scheme, and including respect to the proposed points of access. The site's quite a large one, so it's be easy to focus on a few key areas of the site. This is adjacent to the proposed Grange Road access. So this is the part adjacent to the access with the intention of providing the housing here, facing onto an open space, incorporating on the site's balancing lagoons. In terms of the area of the land left of the proposed access, this is an area intended to be safeguarded for potential expansion of the Huggles Cove surgery. Under the provisions of the Section 106 agreement entered into at the outline stage, financial contributions were secured for expansion of those GP surgeries expected to serve the wider South East Coalville development, and should the CCG decide that the Huggles Cove surgery would be appropriate for some of these contributions to be directed towards, this safeguarded land could potentially be utilised. Just to show you some examples of house types within this part of the site. The next part of the site is, this is the western part of the site adjacent to the scheme which connects to Forest Road, the scheme to the west there, and would form a crossroads between the routes connecting Grange Road, Forest Road, the future connections to the east, and the street accessing the northern part of the site. Again, the proposed dwellings are shown facing onto a balancing lagoon, and it is intended to create a memorable space at this key intersection within the site in order to aid navigation through it. The intention of providing a bit of a memorable set piece square in this location is reinforced by a slightly tighter layout. You'll see the house types here. They're using some more distinctive three-story terrace dwellings on the southern eastern side of the square. As per site elevation there. Next part of the site. This is one of the site's areas of public open space, incorporating a children's play area overlooked by some smaller scale housing than that proposed in the previous section we looked at, and providing pedestrian connections to the former Mineral Railway recreation route. And the final section I want to highlight this area, which is the area adjacent to Hawley Close. This is the only area of the site with directly affected existing neighbouring properties. The application as originally submitted proposed houses side onto the ends of existing rear garden on Hawley Close. In response to concerns raised, the applicant has amended the scheme to show proposed dwellings facing towards the rear gardens, but with unadopted lanes in between, so as to ensure that an appropriate separation distance be provided. So it's just these unadopted lanes here. now proposed, is scheme as now proposed is considered acceptable in this regard. Again, just sample more sites in this area or the idea. In terms of the design issues generally, the proposed dwellings designs are considered to be appropriate from an architectural detailing point of view, and when considered in the context of proposed layout, which will be considered to form well against the requirements of the District Council's SPD, the overall design of the scheme is considered to be acceptable. In terms of proposed housing mix, the scheme includes 7.5% affordable housing in accordance with the contribution approved as part of the outline planning commission. Insofar as the mix of market housing is concerned, the tables on page 15 of the main report indicate that when compared with the ideal mix of dwelling sizes set out in the county-wide housing and economic development needs assessment, the proposed dwellings will be weighted more heavily towards larger units. However, as set out in the report, recent appeal decisions elsewhere have indicated that reserve matters applications cannot normally be used to dictate housing mix in terms of bedroom numbers, and particularly bearing in mind that local planning policy agencies indicate that the provisions of the head are only one of the number of factors relating to housing mix, this would not be considered to represent a reason to refuse this application. Overall, therefore, the scheme is considered to be acceptable in terms of reserve matters approval is recommended, and in addition to those County Highway Authority comments mentioned also on the update sheet, just some additional third party representations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Could I now call the applicant, Helen Burford, to come forward to make their representation? Remind you have 3 minutes in total.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to speak. This site forms part of the South East Cobham Sustainable Urban Extension and is one of 3 new character villages within the SUE called Newbridge. The detailed proposals before you are landscape-led and have been fully informed by the Design Code, Master Plan and Master Plan Statement approved as part of the Outline Planning Commission. David Wilson Holmes has worked extensively with the Council's Planning Officer and Urban Designer throughout this application to create a well-designed development with a recognisable sense of place. The proposals benefit from a bespoke entrance feature off Grange Road, 2 locally equipped areas of play, and purpose-designed vistas across the site to St John the Baptist. The layout retains all existing trees and hedgerows where possible, and incorporates these into new green corridors linking multiple areas of open space across the site, and creating soft development edges. Permeability is vastly improved with the retention of the prior N86, and the creation of new footpaths and cycleways, including along the disused railway corridor to the east of the site, improving connectivity within the site and to Hoggers Cove and Colville and the wider area. A distinctive planting scheme of native trees and shrubs in accordance with the silver, white and green colour palette within the design code complements existing retained landscaping and reinforces the character of Newbridge Village. Landmark spaces and landmark buildings also punctuate the site, assisting with wayfinding and ensuring that the development is legible and can be easily navigated. Throughout the application process, a number of amendments have been made to the layout that take into consideration comments from local residents, parish council and statutory consultees. Following residents' concerns, we have replanned the south-western boundary, increasing separation distances to a minimum of 20 metres. This is compliant with the good design for North-West Leicestershire SPD. We have also safeguarded an area of land for future purchase by Hoggers Cove Surgery and are in the process of agreeing these terms. These proposals have no technical objections. The housing that's proposed is considered to be inclusive, providing good opportunities for home ownership and a varied housing choice suitable for its location. All details of the applications, such as landscaping, materials, boundary and surface treatments, are before the committee for determination today, and each aspect has been carefully considered against the principles of the design code. In summary, the proposals are considered to represent attractive, inclusive and sustainable development that is in accordance with the principles of the Outline Planning Commission, national and local policy and the approved design code and master plan. We therefore respectfully request that members give favourable consideration to this application in accordance with the recommendation of the officers.
Thank you. Are you willing to take questions from councillors?
Do any councillors?
Do any councillors have any questions on planning grounds for the agent?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
case where the ward member, Councillor Russell Johnson, whose ward is affected by this application, come forward to make representations on behalf of the ward. I remind you that ward members may speak for a maximum of 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thanks for giving us a chance to speak. This won't take long. There are a lot of angry voices in our community relating to this application that have been ignored. As a very proactive councillor, I've worked with the planning officers and urban designer and the residents that will be affected by this development, where everyone is satisfied of the new plan. However, the developer, Barrage, David Wilson Homes, have been the complete opposite when they are not fulfilling their obligation and intention that was agreed when in December 2014, 2,700 houses was approved, that they intended to fund the extensions of the Grange Road surgery and have on every turn avoided to get out of that commitment. September the 28th of last year, the Director of Place, James Arnold, through conversations with himself, arranged this meeting with relevant partners, the planning officer, the clinicians, the surgery's management, and their landlord, and the Barrett's representative, and myself, to move to get the allocation of land to fulfil their obligations. The Barrett's Council have had a couple of meetings with Barrett's, and they have said they won't, only to provide piecemeal land for the extension of a car park. This is not acceptable, as new residents would have had the benefit of an extension of the surgery. This particular house builder wants to come into our community to build, but does not want to work with the community and the parish council representatives for the benefit of all. They are not like our parish council and community looking at the bigger picture. Only to expose our residents to a large-scale building site for the next 20 plus years, with all the dust and noise attributed to construction. 360 houses will generate a minimum of 700 plus children, who will have nowhere to go to get educated. So where is the provision of new schools? There is no mitigation on highway safety, as a Grange Road is a racetrack for rat runners coming through our village. That includes one of our own, Councillor Coxon, and Nick Rushton coming through our parish at a rate of knots. The road safety audit is a joke. I was with these two guys who were doing the survey at the road safety audit. Speeds at the entrance of the fields in high vis jackets. Cars coming down Grange Road spotted them and slowed right down to 30 mile an hour. Our residents see excessive speeds by motorists every day. Speeds from the parish speed watch last year recorded speeds of 54 miles an hour. I am fearful, as is our community, of a road traffic collision, including death, happening within the widening of the road at the entrance of the proposed development. Has not helped. Grange Road is neither A or a B road. I do believe this council has a highway infrastructure pot for developers to contribute to, yet no improvements are envisaged for roads, including Grange Road and the rest of the village for the foreseeable future. Why not? The Don't Care Brigade, like Barris and David Wilson, all need to wake up and start working with the community for the benefit of everyone. No imposition of air quality management. Why one has to ask, why not? This council has a local plan which is being ignored. Policy gate 6, house types and mix. Item 3, developments of 50 or more dwellings will provide a proportion of dwellings that are suitable for occupation for the elderly, including bungalows. A proportion of dwellings which are suitable for occupation or easily adaptable for people with disabilities in accordance with part M42 of the building regulations. And what have we got? This council pandering to the developer with 4 bungalows only, which in my view is a dereliction of duty to the pensioners who are crying out for bungalows living in our community, or starter homes for our young people starting out in life that wish to stay in our community close to their families. There is no construction management plan proposed. Why not? And lastly, Chairman, on page 15 of your agendas, a piece of public art is proposed under this land is the graveyard of the resting place of 12 miners who didn't have their bodies retrieved from the Whittock mining disaster of 1898. That piece of art would be welcome to remember their plight. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson. Are you willing to take questions? Does any member wish to question Councillor Johnson on planning matters?
No.
Thank you, Councillor Johnson.
Thank you, sir.
I'll now ask the officers to come in with their comments. But while they're doing that, Councillor Johnson, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. I know the amount of work you've put in to get the car park sorted, and I think that's a credit to you and the officers of this council.
Just a couple of points. The original outline planning permission and section 106 agreement include for education and to healthcare provision. Different strips of schools, there's a new school proposed on land south of Grange Road, and in addition, as part of the Davidson scheme to the north of Grange Road, there's another school on that. Healthcare, we have, I think that's big contributions. But yeah, there's a healthcare contribution of £276,000, which is available for the CCG to call upon to direct towards upgrading of any GP surgeries which serve the site. I've got to remember it's the wider South East Coal site. So this is the Huddersfield Coast Surgery, obviously the closest one to this part of the site. And it, you know, may well be the one that's considered, one of the ones that's considered suitable for the funding to be directed towards that. But that's a matter for the clinical commission group rather than district council.
Thank you,
Councillor
Johnson.
Oh, this one on the housing mix. There's, as Councillor Johnson says, the provision to policy page 6, which set out the council's requirements with respect to the mix, encourages, one of the factors that ought to be taken into account in under the policy is the requirement to the HEDNA, the Housing Economic Development Needs Assessment, which sets out an ideal mix of housing, house type sizes in terms of number of bedrooms. It's covered in the presentation that the scheme in front of us tonight has a mix which is way more heavily larger houses than is in the ideal mix, if you like, in the headland. The policy accepts that, you know, that's one of a number of factors which need to be taken into account. And as Councillor Johnson says, also suggests that provision be made for single-storey dwellings, and there is a contribution of that type. Also need to bear in mind that there is some sort of like reserve matters applications which indicates that you can't use a reserve matters application to secure a particular housing mix. So it's not a matter which members would be able to review.
Thank you.
I'd make a point of clarification, please.
We've had quite a lot of discussion tonight where acronyms have been used. We've got a lot of members of the public in this meeting at the moment that won't understand what an SPD is, or HEDNA, or anything else. Can I please ask that officers actually inform the public and members here what those acronyms mean, and why we're being guided in that direction. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Green. I'll ask Mr. Elson to come in and try and explain all that to the public so they all understand exactly where the officers are coming from.
Hedner is actually the NA, the Housing and Economic Development Needs Assessment, which was a county-wide assessment of housing and employment land requirements. So not just for this district, but the whole housing market area, especially Leicester and Leicestershire, and effectively sets out the requirements, the anticipated requirements over the plan period above 2036 for this district and others, and not only in terms of housing numbers, but also in terms of the, ideally the housing mix within those.
SPD.
SPD is supplementary planning document.
Thank you. And which, seriously, Chair, I'm sorry, but
I know this is sounding pedantic, but if we're trying to explain the transparency of why we're making a decision, is that the supplementary planning document is what to a member of the public? Please, can I just have a few sentences about what that really means?
I'll pass it over to Mr. Elson.
If we're talking about the Good Design Guide supplementary planning document, that's a document that informs how we deal with new residential developments, major residential developments, and it sets out a number of guidelines in terms of good practice, in terms of how sites are laid out, separation distances about between dwellings, and where public spaces, how public spaces should be overlooked and policed. So those kind of additional guidelines that support the local plan policy on design. So it's really providing another level of detail as to how this council requires developers to set out their layouts and indeed design of houses on new residential developments.
Yes.
If I just may come back on one final comment that James touched on and Councillor Johnson touched on. It's just an update in terms of where the discussions, aren't actually planning matters in relation to this application, but I thought it'd be useful to update members that the developer has been in contact with me to say that a meeting has now been set up with the with representatives of the health centre, I think it's on the 28th of March, which stay at that meeting they are hoping to agree terms, and if those terms are agreed for the transfer of that land to the health centre, then they've instructed solicitors at that time. So I think that just indicates that discussions between the developer and the health centre are ongoing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robson. I'm now going to open the debate up to the committee, and Councillor Jones has already indicated he wishes to speak. Is that correct?
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I was going to follow up on what Councillor Legree asked about the SPD, and I just wanted to confirmation from Mr. Elston that this is designed for designing crime out of new buildings. That's part of the...
It's one of the issues in terms of how sites are laid out, so we allow for good permeability, good policing, public open spaces.
Thank you. I'll come back in a minute.
Councillor Adams?
Yes, sure, thank you. Can we explain where we got this figure of four bungalows from? Who decided they needed four bungalows?
James?
Well, that's simply what's been proposed as part of the application.
So who proposed that, the developer?
Yes, it's what's on the plan.
Thank you, Councillor Adams. Anyone else? Councillor Cox, who I'll bring you in at the end of the day.
Thanks, Chairman. It was just on the safeguarded land. Is that time limited at all? Does it revert back to the developers after a certain length of time, or is it in perpetuity? Is the right word, I think. Chairman, do you know that?
James?
I don't know.
It'd be a matter for a condition. We're recommending. We have summary conditions in the report now, as you know, Councillor. Yes, that the intention would be to have a condition which required a scheme to be agreed. So yes, that would cover length of time, how the area is treated in the interim until such time as it's required, happens in the end if it's not required for this treatment. So yes, yeah, it can all become that condition.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm asking really is, will it revert back to the developer if the land is not used? Oh, that's, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have to be some, you know, reasonably, I think we would have to agree some kind of endpoint and in however many years that would be. But yes, if it wasn't required for any expansion, then the ownership would still be retained by the developer and presumably stay in their ownership.
Okay, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Buckland. Anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Wyatt.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to make a comment about the local member has made some very valid points why this application seems to be unsuitable. So based on that information, I will not be supporting.
Thank you, Councillor Wong. Councillor Jones, did you indicate you wish to come back?
Yes, please. Thank you. Yes, I quite like the idea of this new name, Newbridge Village. But going back to the ideal mix on the housing mix, I'm quite disappointed really that there's only four bungalows in this plan, and also there's no mention of self-filling in this application either. I thought we were, as a council, committed to allowing some space for self or custom built. So it's not in the, I'm disappointed about that. However, I approve of the plan.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Do you wish to make any comments? No, thank you. Councillor Legree.
Thank you, Chair. I can't remember how I voted for the December 14 outline planning application, but I do know that we were promised at that time, which is happening, is that we were promised another bite of the cherry when the detail came in, and this is what we're looking at tonight. So I have to bear in mind, considering this the decision that we're going to make in sometime this evening on this application, is that it has planning permission, the site, is part of the agreed local plan. In fact, the decision to designate that site down there is long gone, and it was in the previous local plan, if you recall, Chair, you know, a long time ago in probably 20, 25 years ago, that land has always been earmarked for development down there. So we are where we are with that. I've got to look at this application and make a decision on what's here in front of us for these reserved matters. And for the members of the public, reserved matters effectively means detail. We're looking at the detail of a scheme that's already been approved, or do we approve of the detail the developer's putting forward now tonight? I don't, Chair, on this detail. A lot of us in this chamber tonight, particularly officers and elected members, spent an awful lot of time agreeing, arguing, developing the local plan that we have that was approved very, very recently, which makes it very clear that the percentage of affordable homes, whether, you know, we can interpret that to whatever it means, has to be 20%. Yes. This paper tonight in front of us is only wanting to go down to 7.5% of affordable housing. I feel very strongly about the local plan, Chair, because I personally, like a lot of other members, put an awful lot of effort into actually developing that local plan. We now seem to be driving a coach and horses through with this local plan. I accept, Chair, there may be mitigating circumstances, but we are in 2019, and the circumstances that we had in 2014 are very different. We didn't have enough land supply in 2014. We do now. And I do believe that I want to see an application for that site which meets the local plan. Now, we've argued long and hard about the lack of infrastructure in from schools to doctors, surgeries to roads and transportation. It's not a matter for this planning application, unfortunately, that we are, and we've got a campaign and ensure all of us have to make sure that infrastructure does come. Chair, I feel aggrieved tonight, and as a person that's been deeply involved in the local plan preparations and approvals, that we are now in the coming through, and this is not the first time that we've had to deviate from the recently approved local plan, where we are being asked to deviate from that situation. And I think that is so wrong, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Green. I understand your concerns, but both Councillor Ashton and myself have been through this in the utmost detail with Mr. Elson, and he will point out to you exactly why this is as it is. Do you want to do that now at the very end, please?
Yeah. Thanks for those comments, Councillor Green. I obviously recognise the importance of the local plan. I think it's probably fair to say that if this was an outline planning application before us now, we'd be looking at a different housing mix, and who knows, we might even be able to secure a greater level of affordable housing. But I think I need to make you aware that when the original outline planning permission was granted, the resolution at that stage was to accept the 7.5% fixed rate of affordable housing. That's secured by the Section 106 agreement, isn't really up for consideration tonight. And while I take the point again about the housing mix, I think if this application was before us tonight, we'd be paying much closer attention to what the policy says in relation to the header that James talked about earlier. But I think it's already been explained that because this outline plan permission was approved before the local plan was adopted, that makes it very difficult for us to insist on that kind of mix. So I'm satisfied that approval of this reserve matters application doesn't have a negative impact in terms of the 106, and I don't consider that it really is contrary to the local plan. So I'll make the local plan, not the 106. I don't think it means that officers aren't taking into account their own local plan, which is going to be great for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Elson. Councillor Spreckley, who wishes to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. We've heard mentioned earlier on about the potential two schools being identified. I'd be very interested to know what the time frame, the leading time, would be for those premises to be in service. Is it dependent on number of build out, number of houses sold? Have we got a start date? Then I referred to Section 106 agreement for healthcare facilities down. It says here a contribution of up to £276,931.20. Where's that coming up from? Is it coming up from £50 to £2,700? I would be a lot happier if it read with a financial contribution of £276,000, non-£31.20, because we discussed at Scrutiny last week, Chairman, about Section 106 monies being set aside for healthcare and the difficulties of that getting it spent. It was actually stalling at one time, and now we've got an officer dealing with the National Health Service. That money is being taken up and it has started to get spent, and we're down to about 1.3 million that still needs spending. I find it very difficult when you've got a doctor's surgery on Grange Road that knows that you see the future because it's in the plans and it has been for some time, while they're dragging the feet and not getting this built out now. And I've also got concerns, Chairman, about the land being set aside. I think Mr. Elston said there's a meeting next week between the developer and the surgeon or the National Health Service. Is that going to bring out that so it can only be used and used whenever it's required, which should really be in the short term, the amount of population growth we're talking about. And I fully appreciate Councillor Johnson's concerns about the health facilities and everything else you've brought up. So, can Mr. Elston tell us about the two schools, why it says up to £276,931.20, where's that up from? alleviate some of our concerns.
Thank you, Councillor Spring. I think you're aware that we allocate this money from the development. It's actually up to the health authorities, etc., to spend it as and where they want. But anyway, I'll put you over to you.
Yes, just on the question about the up to amount in the building inclusion, it's because that the total figure there you see there is based on the maximum number of dwellings approved on the outline, which is 2,700, I think. But the contribution is payable depending on how many houses are actually built under that permission. So if you divide it by 2,700, it is that per dwelling. So if you have 2,699, you just take off the one of that. So yeah, that it's it would be that figure if 2,700 were ultimately built under this plan.
I think the point is, Councillor Spector, the 106 has already been agreed, and therefore what we're discussing tonight isn't really relevant to this application. So, you know, whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, that is not a consideration. Thank you. Councillor Adams.
It's quite complicated the way that they've drawn up actually the provisions of the mitigation.
It won't switch off. Try to get my missus to shut.
That won't get back. That's it. There we are.
Right, they're quite complicated provisions under the education provisions here because obviously there is also an option for commuted sums for some parts. But I think really the nutshell is that I think they've got to obviously transfer the land and have started commencing the building or the school within prior to occupation of the 400th dwelling.
Thank you.
Councillor Adams? Chair, thank you for having me coming back in. I'd just like some legal opinion on this 7% affordable housing figure. Is there anything we can do to challenge that now?
It's very unfortunate that no, because obviously the 7.5% was fixed it out. So that's what we've got, the Section 106 agreement was done at that point there. If there had been any sort of uplift or any viability reappraisal further along the process, then you could have done. But because you fixed it, then it is actually fixed.
Thank you, councillors. Mr. Elson, would you want to raise it? No. Thank you. I'll now call for a motion on this application. Do I have a motion? Councillor Ashman moves to permit. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Councillor Jones seconds. As a recorded vote is required, the Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Adams.
Abstain.
Councillor Ashman.
For.
Councillor Bone.
For.
Councillor Wyatt.
Against.
Councillor Coxon.
Abstain.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Jones.
For.
Councillor Legree.
Against.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Specht.
For. Thank you. Results are for the motion 6, against the motion 2, abstention 2, therefore the motion is passed. Thank you.
Unlock.
Cut. I missed that.
Unlocked.
Do you wish to jump ship, Councillor Adams, now before we start the next one? Or?
Oh, thank you.
None at all. Right, we'll now move to agenda item A2. Change of use from A4 to a mixed use of C1 bed and breakfast. And A3 restaurant, erection of two-storey side and rear extension and alteration to car parking arrangements. The Halfway House, Beaver Road, Colwell. Are any members of the committee required to remove themselves from the consideration of this application?
No.
Please put their substitute step forward there.
No.
No, thank you. Please put the relevant planning officer present their report.
Thank you, Chairman. In April 2016, planning permission was granted for the change of use of a public house to a bed and breakfast containing 16 rooms, including extensions. Works have commenced on this planning permission. This current application seeks permission for the change of use of the building to a mixed use of bed and breakfast and restaurant, including extensions. The main difference between that which has previously been granted and what is now proposed is the inclusion of a restaurant use on the ground floor, which will be open to members of the public and guests using the bed and breakfast facilities. Members will see from pages 23 and 24 of the agenda that petitions containing 34 signatures and objections from 30 residents have been received. There are no objections from statutory consultees. The main issue with regard to the acceptability of this revised scheme is in relation to highway safety and parking. The application site for the current application includes additional land to the rear of numbers 130 to 158 Beaver Road to provide an increased level of car parking for the proposed restaurant use. The scheme, as originally submitted, resulted in a significant level of local objection on the basis of highway safety, parking and turning. Objections were also received from the County Highway Authority, and planning officers raised concerns over inaccurate measurements that were provided on the submitted plans. Amended plans and additional justifications have now been submitted by the applicant to address these concerns. The County Highway Authority have considered the amended plans and information and now confirmed that the single point of access off Beaver Road is considered to be acceptable. In terms of car parking for the proposed restaurant and bed and breakfast use, the County Highways Authority accept that users of the bed and breakfast are also likely to utilise the restaurant, and on this basis calculate that 29 parking spaces would normally be expected to be provided. This proposal seeks to provide a total of 21 car parking spaces, which would be a shortfall of 8. However, whilst acknowledging the shortfall, the County Highway Authority do not consider that this shortfall would result in a severe impact on highway safety, and note that the urban location of the site means that it's entirely reasonable to assume that users of the facility could access the site by other modes of transport and on foot. The current situation on site is that residents along Beaver Road are parking their vehicles on land which is owned by the applicant and which would no longer be available to them should planning permission be granted for this scheme, as those spaces will be used in connection with the bed and breakfast and restaurant use. It's understood that residents have a right of access across the land to serve that rear parking spaces and garages. It's acknowledged that the proposal could result in displaced parking, but the County Highway Authority can only consider the impact of this development proposal itself. As such, if additional vehicles are displaced due to an informal off-street car parking arrangement, this could occur regardless of any planning permission on the site. On the basis of the above, the County Highway Authority raised no objections in this instance, subject to planning conditions. The design of the previous extensions to the building have already been considered as acceptable under the previous planning permission. However, amended fenestration is now shown on the current application, and whilst there are minor changes to the size and position of windows and doors on the elevations, the design is still considered to be acceptable and would result in no greater impact on surrounding residents over and above the approved scheme. It's therefore recommended that planning permission be granted. And I'd just like to draw members' attention to the update sheet where an additional planning condition is recommended to secure appropriate lighting to the rear of the site and in the proposed car park. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Please could the ward member, Councillor John Geary, whose ward is affected by this application, come forward to make representation on behalf of the ward. I remind you, Councillor Geary, you have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Ward member, perhaps, Chair.
councillors, I thank Mr. Elson for his introduction to start with. I will be repeating one or two things he said. The halfway house has been empty for quite some while when in April 2016 permission was given for 16 room bed and breakfast with 13 parking spaces, which really I felt was acceptable. However, in the autumn of last year, they applied for permission to change it to an A3 use, also for a restaurant. And that is basically where the problem started. The highway criteria originally said that it would need 45 spaces. That was later amended to 29 spaces. We now have only 21, half of the original figure and still 9 short of the amended figure. That might be okay if it wasn't for the fact that the residents do have right of passage over the land to get to their gardens and garages. That causes a certain degree of difficulty. Highway figures do not add up. At the meeting last Wednesday, I challenged the highways officer to explain her figures or their figures. Her reply was, "I can't." And she went on to give a general talk on planning and parking and highways, but I couldn't get my question answered. Please explain how you can gerrymander these figures. That begs the question, what sort of criteria do highways work to? And it's beginning to look that they will adapt their criteria to fit any application that comes before them. And that should concern you all, because how many times are we as a planning authority committed to approve applications on the highways figures? I maintain the highways have not got a set matrix for determining figures. Now then, if you turn to page 24 of the report, and go and look at adopted North West Leicestershire Local Plan, that's the new one, colleagues. It says, the following policies of a local plan are consistent with the policies of the NPPF and should be afforded weight in the determination of this application. Look at IF7, which clearly says parking provision and new development. This application falls on that. The parking provision is not sufficient. However, should councillors be minded to approve this application, that leaves the problem of the land at the back, which you've seen photographs tonight. There's puddles everywhere. It floods on a regular basis after heavy rain. So I would also ask that you condition that if any hard surface was to be put on that land, also drainage be introduced. Otherwise, the water off that land will actually flood into the gardens and the garages of the local residents. I did raise this question on Wednesday of lighting along there, and I now see that the applicant has agreed to put external lighting along that road or drive, but there again, that will need conditioning. So basically, councillors, it's over to you, but please bear in mind that we're often tied to the comments of highways. The comments by their very own figures tend to be flawed, and there is provision within our new adopted North West Leicestershire Local Plan to refuse. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you, Councillor Geary. Councillor Geary, before you leave, would you be willing to take any questions?
Oh, as many as you want, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Geary. I'll anticipate that response. Does anyone wish to question Councillor Geary on any planning? Oh, I beg your pardon. Yeah, thank you, Chairman.
Can I ask Councillor Geary about, he just mentioned about the parking area, and you mentioned about drainage and also the condition of the area. Do you know or you're aware of at the moment who maintains it, or would the applicant have to maintain it? You know, do you know what happened to that bill?
I thank Councillor Watt for that question. It's a good question. It's my understanding that originally, of course, we had a ground track there, subdemised when we lost it for the people of Colville in the district, but it's gone now. As far as I know, that land has never ever been maintained. It wasn't even maintained properly when the ground track was there. And it's only just recently been decided who was the legal owners of that land. So in answer to your question, Councillor Wyatt, nobody's been maintaining it.
Thank you, Councillor Geary. Anyone else? No? Thank you.
Disappointing, Chair, but thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Mr. Elson, please follow.
Just a couple of comments in relation to the Councillor Geary's comments there. In terms of how the Highway Authority come to their conclusions, that they normally use the Leicestershire Design Guide base parking requirements on floor space and number of tables in restaurants, that kind of thing. They do recognise there's a shortfall in this instance, but also recognise the fact that this is an urban area, and quite often in urban areas they don't require the full amount of car parking spaces when there are the means of getting to a restaurant. In terms of the other comment about the surfacing and drainage, we're comfortable that could be made condition of any planning permission granted, and also we've secured the on the applicant's agreement conditions requiring lighting to be provided and implementation of that lighting at a certain period of time. So I hope that provides members with a bit more information.
Thank you, Mr. Elson. I'd like to now open the debate to the committee. Does anyone wish to speak? Councillor Legree.
I want to move, Chair, if this committee is minded to approve this application. We have two additional conditions placed on the application. The first condition will be that the site is less lit as part of this application, and that the track along the back there, which we're now told is under the ownership of the applicant, is surfaced, properly drained, and kept in maintenance condition, maintained. As it's land, the residents along there do have the right of access to them. So I'm actually moving two additional conditions there, Chair. I understand what you're saying, Chair, but I'm putting it on record is that my colleague's sending me three conditions that I'd like placing on this application. When we get to the right point, Chair, thank you.
I'll second that.
Councillor White.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I've still got concerns about the parking issues, and also, can I ask the office, because if you're going to have these bed and breakfasts, and also usage of the restaurant, you can double the amount of vehicles, because you've got visitors to the people who are using the bed and breakfast. You know, I mean, it depends how long they're there for, because bed and breakfasts nowadays are sometimes permanent, and that's the problem. But the officers, who is legally responsible for the maintenance of the car park? Will it be the people over the house? Will they maintain it to a suitable standard at all times? Because if the tenant residents are using it, obviously wear and tear, there is a very, very grey area at the moment. It's not being properly. It's not clear who is responsible and who's going to maintain it, and legally, who's going to take any damage done to vehicles.
Thank you, Councillor. I think if you look at those photographs closely,
anything that happened down there would be an improvement. I mean, some of those holes, I should put it mildly, quite deep.
Before you interrupt, Chair, I asked the officers a question, so I'd like the officers to answer the question, not you to put it.
I will, as Chair of this committee, I will put in whenever I wish. Councillor White, if you know, you know where the door is.
Very rude to put in.
Yes, I will.
I asked the office.
I would mind you to look in the mirror, chap, before you call anybody
rude. Mr Chairman, please show some respect.
Well, you need to start with it.
So, don't be so rude, Mr Chairman. You're being rude, Mr Chairman. I asked the officer a question.
The questions come through the chair and you know it.
Just in response to that question, the can condition that the servicing of the drive happens at a certain trigger point, and we often put conditions on saying that parking area should be maintained, surfaced and maintained, so that can be conditioned. That will be the responsibility of the landowner.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Councillor Bowen.
Just a quick one, clarification on the parking area. Is it the whole area that's going to be resurfaced, or is it just the parking bit of it? Is it that whole area there?
We can ensure all of the parking spaces shown on the submitted plans will be surfaced to our satisfaction. Yeah. That's for scheme of surfacing to be submitted and agreed, and then that would then be provided before the restaurant gets brought into use and then maintained going forward.
That would be the actual driveway bit as well as the parking.
We can condition surfacing the driveway as well.
Councillor Jones.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Yes, I would have thought if the applicant claims ownership of this, that it's down to him to resurface and put the drainage in, as he can put a condition on the application that he does this full resurface and drainage and lighting for this.
I think that's already been noted, Councillor Jones. I think that will take place.
Any more questions?
Councillor Green.
In hindsight, maybe I should have declared a non-pecuniary interest at the beginning of this meeting, Chair, because I live relatively closely to this site, although it's not in my ward, it's very close to home. I'm very aware, Chair, as a local resident, of rumours floating around about this particular application, which has got absolutely nothing to do with the planning application before us tonight. Well, there is a belief in the community, unfortunately, that the bed and breakfast aspect of this application is not what we would expect from passing visitors. It will be for long-term bed and breakfast. I don't know, and it's not part of the application. And you would slam me down if I asked that question, Chair, but we are where we are. There's been a lot of comments. My wife and I have had at least half a dozen anonymous phone calls from an individual concerned about this particular application and about additional on-street parking affecting other businesses in the area. Very well aware of that, but we're looking at the application that's in front of us tonight, Chair. It is recommended for approval. Councillor Geary rightly asked for some conditions being placed on this application to give it. If this committee is so minded to approve it, which is those 3 points that I mentioned earlier. But I would expect putting forward that particular request for conditions is that the whole of the area down there, including the non-parking base, because vehicles will need to get access to the parking base, is that the whole width of that track is surfaced and drained and lit as part of this application. In our Victoria Street, Chair, as you well know, as a long-term resident of this area, is that most of the homes, particularly on Beaver Road and Central Road, were never designed for the car, ever, because cars didn't exist in 1860, 1870, when these properties were built. We now have these terraced houses being divided into homes of multiple occupation, where we could actually have up to 6 vehicles per household. Again, it's got nothing to do with this application, but it's something to do with the long term that this council needs to resolve, is that where we have displaced parking, is that displaced parking will go elsewhere. And it will affect the patch that I represent, Chair. And I'm very aware of that tonight where we are now. But I'm very conscious of the fact is that I want to ensure that the residents that currently have vehicular access over that land, as I understand it, Chair, get some form of betterment out of this application. And I'm not afraid to use the word betterment, Chair, because they are being inconvenienced. There will be inappropriate parking down there, which will cause problems in the long term future. How it will affect other business in the areas is that I can't say. I agree with Councillor Geary, is that I would like to challenge the highway recommendations on this, but I can't as part of the committee. So, Chair, whenever I can do it, I'm so moving a request to put those three conditions in this application, please.
Thank you, Councillor DeGree. Except for all that you say, did you want to specify exactly what your three conditions are now? The office to note, and I think it's an important point that you've made, that we need to look in future at parking in the area generally. We accept that.
I'm grateful for those words, Chair. Is that the first issue for the case of the minutes that Michelle's taking is that the area is properly lit to the satisfaction of officers, whatever the appropriate lighting would that be for that. Secondly, is that the track is appropriately surfaced under normal highway conditions for the volume of traffic that area would take. And it's surfaced for the whole width of the track, not just the length, but the width of the track as well, right up to the garage doors. And third is that the site is properly drained. Is that, yes, it is very wet in there. Very close to that site, there is a pond that is used for surface water drainage. And sometimes that does have a tendency, not doesn't overflow, but it does weep. So therefore, the land that we're talking about here along that track, Chair, is properly surfaced and drained. Is that a good enough explanation, Chair?
Thank you, Councillor. Yes. Thank you.
Well,
I just want to ask Mr. Elson if he wishes to make any more comments or anything else. No, okay. John,
Thank you, Chairman. I agree totally with the recommendations about the lighting and the resurfacing. Chairman, but is the applicant able to carry these out? You can put the conditions on, but you know, does he own the land? Is he able to do that, Chairman? I just need to be clear.
I think it's been established that he definitely does own the land.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it will need a little bit of cooperation between the applicant and the residents that cars are positioned elsewhere while they do the work, and that will obviously cause them some inconvenience. But I'm afraid they can't have a new road without a little bit of inconvenience.
Yeah, I mean, you know yourself, Chairman, that when people start doing these alterations, everyone else owns land and that, if you're not careful. But if it's clear that the land is in the ownership of the applicant, that's fine, Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah, we're actually absolutely clear, and our legal department checked it through, Councillor Cox, and it is definitely his ownership.
Yeah.
So, can I now please call for a motion on this application? It's obviously subjected to the additions that Councillor Legree has asked for.
I move the officer's recommendation.
I'll second it, Chair.
Thank you. As a recorded vote is required, the Democratic Service Officer will read out each name in turn. Please indicate whether you are for the motion, against the motion, or wish to abstain.
Thank you, Chairman. Councillor Ashman.
For.
Councillor Bone.
For. For.
Councillor Wyatt.
Against.
Councillor Coxon.
For.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Jones.
For.
Councillor Legree.
For.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Spetch.
For.
Thank you. The results were for the motion 8, against the motion 1, therefore the motion is passed. And I'd like to thank Councillor Geary for his contribution and also Councillor Russell for his contribution. Thank you. I declare the meeting closed.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.